This morning we have a guest joining us here in our program, talking with Jimmy Ryan this morning. He's going to be performing at the Wilson Performing Arts Center in Red Oak on Saturday, September 9th, in a show called The Heroes Behind the Hits, as he's going to share some music and some stories from his life in music. Jimmy, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You betcha. Talk a little bit about your journey. How did you get interested in music?
I started at 4 years old. Everyone in my family was musical. My dad was actually, my dad played a banjo mandolin, if you can believe that. It is the loudest, most obnoxious instrument you've ever heard in your life. It's all the bad aspects of mandolins and banjos. But anyway, he played it. It was very popular in the 40s. He also was an Irish tenor, played piano. My mom played piano and sang. My uncles did. So it was always around me. And at around 8 years old, I discovered Dick Clark and, American Bandstand. And it wasn't like I wanted to watch and be a fan. I would see them and I would want to be them. I wanted to be Buddy Holly. I wanted to be Elvis Presley or Jerry Lee Lewis. So it was an obsession. So at 10 years old, I begged my parents to let me take up guitar, which I did. And 9 years later, I had my first hit record with a band called The Critters, a record called Younger Girl, which was mostly popular kind of east of the Mississippi. Another band had a cover of the band west of the Mississippi, but we did okay. And then we had a second big hit, a top 10 national hit called Mr. Dyingly Sad. And then a third one on top of that called Don't Let the Rain Fall Down on Me. So now I'm in for life. You know, I left college to do it, and I was never going to be an electrical engineer, and so I'm in, both feet, up to my nose.
Well, it's certainly a tough business, but it's a lot of fun as well, and you get a chance to, kind of collaborate and work with a lot of different people.
Well, I did, and as just a wacky coincidence, after the Critters split up, I had a friend who had a guitar store, and I said, look, I need a job while I'm figuring out what I got to do here. So I took a job as the manager of a guitar store, and my boss had a tall, beautiful girlfriend who was a singer-songwriter, but just a secretary at the time. You know, she wasn't in the music business. Her name was, let me see, what was it, Carly something? Carly Simon? Yeah, that was And I met her when she was a secretary. We were very close friends for a long time, and then she got her record deal. And just called me up and said, hey, I got a record deal. You want to come play on my record? I said, I sure do. So I did virtually every album she did from 1969, 70, I guess was the first one, right up to about 1995. 22 years. We're still friends to this day. So, and through Carly, as a result of working with her, I got a chance to work with Elton John, Cat Stevens, Rod Stewart, Jim Croce, even Andy Williams. I played on Solitaire, Andy Williams' big hit. What she did for me really started me on a long-term, successful career as a session musician, arranger, orchestrator, and then I went on to doing big orchestras. I did the music for NBC News in New York, the music you hear on CNBC and all those financial shows during the day. I wrote the theme for that in 2005, and it's still running to this day. So I'm still doing it. I did a documentary 2 weeks ago, I guess I don't get to retire.
It seems like folks in that business never get to retire, period, because everyone expects to see them all the time and to hear them all the time, and we want to get out and do that. Do you still do a good bit of touring then?
I just started up again. I had a band called the Hitmen for a while. It was three members of the 70s Four Seasons, the ones that did Who Love You and Oh What a Night, plus myself and another guy. And then they gradually left the band and it became some new guys, but we toured for 10 years, but COVID came along and all of our gigs canceled, every single one of them. All the theaters shut down. I was supposed to do a reunion with Carly at Carnegie Hall, and Carnegie Hall shut down. So I didn't retire. I wrote a book. I wrote a book called The Superstar Chronicles, which I'll be talking about in my concert at the Wilson But it's a fun story about all these people that I worked with. It's very personal because it's not so much stories about recording sessions and stuff. It's about my personal relationship with people like Elton John and certainly with Carly and all the other people, Jim Croce. I went to college with Jim Croce. He was one of my college buddies at Villanova. A lot of my career has been just being in the right place at the right time, being in that guitar store, being at Villanova with Jim, being with Carly, you know, when I get introduced to Elton John, and then Elton John calls me to play on Kiki D's first album, and, you know, just stuff like that. But anyway, I talk about that in the book. The book is very fun. It's a lot of laughs. It's not a heavy thing. One of the people, an author who read it, said he loved it. He read it in two sittings. So he's a fast reader, but anyway, I'm going to have books available for people if they want a signed copy, and I'm going to talk about and read a chapter, and of course, I'm going to do a lot of music as well.
Sure.
Do you want me to talk about what I meant by Heroes Behind the Hit?
Yeah, exactly.
That show? Sure. The show is basically to show people what the people who you don't see do to make records, and their influence is substantial, to say the least. Of course, the artists who write the songs and sing the things, they're the most important. But without the guys that back them up, it's a tough go. So I take a whole bunch of songs that you know very well, and I show you how they came into the studio, and I assure you they're almost unrecognizable. You hear them, and they sound amateur, and they sound just weird. And then the studio musicians, and I show you how they do it. They come up with this little part here, and let's change the verse and put it over here and put the chorus back here, and now let's put this little lick behind that. And all of a sudden, it starts sounding like the record, you know. And then I finish by actually doing the song the way it was done on the record. I do 10 or 15 songs like that. I don't play the whole songs because the concert would be like 2, 3, 4 hours long if I did. It's fun, and it's a real eye-opener because most people don't realize, you know, what studio musicians do. I do one little comparison, and I think this really describes it. If you've ever seen a Victoria's Secret model when she's going into a photo shoot, she'd probably be wearing sneakers, sweatpants, a sloppy shirt, sunglasses, unwashed hair, a hat. You would not recognize her in a crowd, I promise you. Give her an hour with the hair and makeup people, and she comes out looking like a goddess. The studio musicians are the musical hair and makeup guys. We take the raw product, and we turn it into a goddess, hopefully. I mean, if the raw product is really bad to start with, we can only do our best. And trust me, that happens a lot more than the good ones.
Oh, I'm sure.
A lot of people... Yeah, I mean, the real breakthrough records are so rare. I mean, they're probably 1% or maybe even less.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's the kind of minor hits, and then there's the no hits after that. But, you know, we treat them all the same.
We all have our hits and misses.
But as studio musicians, we treat them all the same. If a record company has the confidence to sign an artist, we give them all we got to make it, you know, as good a record as it possibly can be. And of course, there's a million other factors. I won't even go into it because I'll do the whole show on your radio here.
Well, we do want folks to come to the show.
Exactly.
Jimmy, have you played much in Iowa over the years?
Yeah, I have. I have. Well, all the time that I was in Iowa, I was touring with the Hitmen. I lived in New York initially, and I just got sick of being in New York, and because of my scoring career, you know, writing music for TV, I didn't have to be anywhere. I didn't, you know, I could do that from Alaska with the internet. You know, I write something, I get on the phone with the producer, he says, I like this, can you change that? I change it, I call him back, it's in your mailbox, your inbox. So I grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in suburbs of Detroit and Chicago. And my wife was from Boulder, Colorado. So we just said, let's get out of New York. We don't need to be here. It's congested. It's nuts. The traffic, and it's crazy expensive to live there. Let's move to Iowa. So we moved to Fairfield, Iowa, and never looked back. Happy as a clam here.
Yeah. Perfect. Then he's very familiar, you bet. Well, you know the kind of show people will enjoy here. Tickets, by the way, are $30 for adults, $20 for students, and you can get those reserved seats right away by going online to wilsonartscenter.org, or you can also call the Wilson at 712-623-3183, and they'd be happy to set you up for that show. That's coming up again on Saturday, September 9th, and that'll be an evening show at 7:30 p.m. at the Wilson Performing Arts Center in Red Oak, a great venue for what sounds like a really fun show. Jimmy, thanks so much for the time here this morning. We hope you have a great program.
Well, thank you so much. And I want to give a shout-out to Malvern Bank because they are the proud sponsors of this, and it's very kind of them to get behind it. So good for them.